Blog Talk Radio.
Jock Journal Radio. Jock Journal Radio brings you NFL Talk Late Night. Just two hardcore fans talking football after their kids have gone to bed, and they invite you to join our conversation. If there's a hot topic or even a cold topic, these chumps will be drawing it up every night. So leave those nudie sites alone and call us. And if you're lucky, they might give you my number. NFL Talk Late Night from Jock Journal Radio.
Welcome to Jock Journal Radio. My name is Nash.
And I'm Matt.
And you're listening to NFL Late Night Talk. Guys, we got so much in store for you today. So let me just get through with some of the small stuff, and then we're going to go straight into what we got, the big thing, which is James McNally, who's going to be on the line, and we're going to have a live interview right here, right now with him. But before we go ahead and do that.
We got him.
Oh, you have no idea. The guy's been in hiding. And I mean, literally in hiding.
Yeah.
When we put the words out, we had connections. Connections had connections. And we are the only ones with this major exclusive right here on Jock Journal Radio, where people are going to hear for the first time ever James McNally talk since the whole scandal that brought on Deflategate. So I'm excited. We want callers to call in. First, 347-850-8627 is the way to call us, or you can text the show. We will read your text, 77948. Type the word text, space, and then the message. So, Matt, are you pretty excited about this?
I mean, I'm really excited. I just, you know, his story needs to get out, and I think there's a lot of stuff that we don't know. It's a miracle that we got him, and we need to take advantage of it. You know, I think some things are going to come out tonight that we've never heard, and I'm excited to hear it. And I think it needs to be told. This is a story that needs to be out there.
It sure does. There's so much underlining stuff with Deflategate. Deflategate's like that cherry on top, and people are focusing so much at the cherry that they forget that there's whipped cream, chocolate, nuts, and a whole bowl of ice cream. A lot of nuts. This guy.
This is the underbelly, the dark underbelly of the National Football League.
Massively dark underbelly, and when we get him on the air, people are going to finally find out all the things that are going on inside that New England Patriots organization. To have James McNally on our station, we are 190% honored to have this guy be giving us this exclusive. So if you're sitting around right now and you're like, okay, this is about to start, you contact your friends. You tell everybody you know. You even contact your enemies to let them know that Jock Journal Radio in approximately 2 minutes is going to have James McNally for the first time in front of anybody giving his account as to what happened inside that New England Patriots organization. So, Matt, hopefully he gets on the line here in a second.
He's in hiding, too, so keep in mind, it's not easy to get him on the phone. We had to ping the signal off multiple different towers. We don't want anyone to find out where he is, so we had to be very stealth about this. So hopefully it comes through good as well.
Yes, if you knew the logistics that went involved to make this happen, it was ridiculous. We actually, not only with the technical things that Matt talked about here, but I guess he's literally found a payphone. I didn't even think they exist anymore to actually make this call from. Using cell phones in today's day and age is like a perfect little tracking device. Everybody knows exactly where you are. He's doing it old school, just like they do in the movies, which has me even more excited to have him on the show tonight.
I also really just want to say a big shout out to Lost in Austin for helping us find him and really doing the work it takes to get him on the line with us. So thanks, guys.
Yes. Thank you all to the Lost in Austin crew. Thank you very much. So he's about to give us a call. Before we do, I'm going to go ahead and say one more time, dial 347-850-8627 to call the show. You can find us at Twitter at Jock Journal and at Facebook, facebook.com/jockjournal, all one word. And if you want to text us, we will read your text submissions. So just dial the number 77948, and we will go ahead and read your text on the air tonight. Okay, so before he gets on, do you have all your questions planned? This is kind of a big moment for us. I hope that you have your research done.
You're really the research guy. I'm just going to kind of shoot from the cuff, but I have some stuff in my head that, yeah, I'd like to know. You know, I want to get to the bottom of this, and I want some answers.
I think we all do. I think America deserves to know it, and this is definitely the opportunity to put Jock Journal on the map, as everybody will be listening to us come tomorrow morning. ESPN, everybody will be playing this interview as people are waking up and listening to what's going on with the New England Patriots equipment manager. Okay, he should have called in by now. So let's find out what's going on. I'm going to go ahead and try to reach out to him.
Let's hope he's safe. Let's hope he's safe.
Yes. Right. Oh, my God. So, I got like a list of questions here. 1, 2, 3, 4 good questions. I think this is going to be a huge opportunity. So, When he gets in, we're just going to go ahead and go straight to him and bring him on the line.
We also have a lot of other stuff to go over tonight as well.
We do. We sure do. So he is waiting for us now. So tonight we have James McNally, the former Patriots organization, on the line with Jock Journal. And now, for those who don't know much about who he is, he was the equipment manager who was responsible on many accounts of deflating Tom Brady's game balls to the desired air pressure. Mr. McNally
has been the balls.
Yes, he was the one actually doing it. Mr. McNally has been in hiding for some time, and we get the exclusive here on Jock Journal Radio. Mr. McNally, I want to thank you first for coming out of hiding and taking a moment to talk to us.
Hey, you said we wouldn't be on the air during this interview so people wouldn't trace your line while talking to me.
Mr. McNally, don't worry about it. This is a podcast. We're just pretending it's live for the effect, so our listeners think we're actually talking to you in the moment.
When you said he was in hiding, Matt, I thought you really just meant like hanging low from the media.
Media? God, I love to be in the spotlight. At least there, I'd be safe. Now it's just me on the move. I can change my identity every couple weeks if needed, but last week, you know, I was Sarah Martin, blended in with the Caitlyn Jenner's tranny group.
Matt? I think we might have lost Matt.
I'm here. I was just he has some issues, and he really, I just want you to take a moment. He has a story that he wants the world to know, and this is a story that has to be heard.
I mean, you know it.
Okay, Mr. McNally, by your own account, can you tell me how you found yourself in the middle of this controversy?
Well, God, it actually started. You know, when I was caught installing a glory hole in the Patriots locker room, you know, it was...
A glory hole in an NFL locker room? I didn't know they even let women in there.
They don't. I was actually asked by Aaron Hernandez to put that in. He told me it helped him get rid of his pregame jitters. He kind of saw Danny Amendola as... You know, Princess Amidala from Star Wars.
Okay. Gotcha. Go on.
Well, after installing the hole, it became rather popular in the organization as a... I was a guy who could get things done discreetly.
Yeah, I bet you did.
You know, it didn't take long before I was doing things, you know, like... I was installing microphones in opposing teams' locker rooms, you know, sometimes breaking into Guttle's office, destroying evidence. you know, once and got a candle removed from Rob Gronkowski's ass, you know, by his like party. I was kind of their, you know, you say their party planner.
So I imagine that it actually hurt when the team tossed you under the bus.
Well, Nash, chill. You can be a little easier on the guy.
Yeah. It's okay. Yeah. It doesn't hurt like it did before. You know, I thought when Belichick told me we were family, I thought he meant it, you know. I mean, he even used the glory hole.
I'm sorry all this happened to you. But you might imagine this is rather sensational stuff. Can you prove your claims?
Nash, Jesus, we're lucky to even have him on the show.
Yeah, I have the proof. I have a phone full of text. Not just about the air pressure from balls, but I request to put Adderall in people's sports drinks, request for tranny hookers for Julian Edelman, and request to smuggle underage girls in containers back from London. But I can't reveal the truth. You couldn't handle the truth. As soon as this is all out, I'll be dead in 20 minutes. The only hope I have. Keep proof and hope to God that this message is heard by millions and that I can sell this information to someone for enough money to buy security or buy a new life somewhere else.
Okay, that's understandable. But can you explain how Deflate happened and your involvement in Deflategate?
Dude, he deflated Tom's balls when Tom told him how to deflate them. I mean, what else do you need from him?
No. I'm coming clean, you know. I took care of almost every game since 2010. The method was to bring the game balls to the refs as requested for inspection 25 minutes before the game. Most of the time, they would just squeeze a couple balls, rub them, maybe smell my balls for foreign substances. Rarely did they test the pressure with the gauge, so things... You know, they really went off easy. But, you know, on the way back to the room where I would be instructed to put the balls in the game box, I would always stop for a few seconds at the restroom. I got rather good at this and built a special gauge that would let out approximately 2 pounds of pressure. Typically, I could deflate 12 balls in 35 to 40 seconds in a bathroom stall. And since the AFC Championship game was there at Gillette Stadium in Foxborough, all I had to do was keep the gauge hidden on the other side of, yes, you heard it here, the glory hole. And no one was the wiser.
Boom. And you heard it here on Jock Journal. You also had texts from Tom asking if you had taken care of your job, right?
Correct. Yeah, that's 100% true to the fact.
Okay, I'm just glad that the glory hole became part of this story eventually, as I was starting to get really creeped out that he even mentioned it.
Shut up, Nash.
Well, when your life is in complete shambles like mine is right now, I'm completely unemployable. I wear disguises. The motels that I frequent are the types of places you would dispose of a body for, you know, someone like Hernandez. You know, my life sucks.
Okay, if you had to do all over again, what would be different here?
I don't know. I've thought about taking some jobs as a line cook. No, I would just go to Seattle. You know, they get away with that shit up there.
He's actually right, they do. We're from the Northwest. He would have blended right in.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you for taking this big risk, Mr. McNally. I hope you can begin to find some sort of normal life soon. For being on the show, we'll live up to our end of the deal, and we have the GPS cords that you gave us, and we'll deliver that 5 gallons of petroleum jelly you requested. Now, might I ask why you wanted all why you wanted 5 gallons of stuff?
Well, when you're in a situation like me, you've found that, well, you can slip out of anything with just the right lube.
Yes, you can, my friend. Yes, you can.
Okay, that was James McNally, formerly of the New England Patriots, the man directly responsible for deflating Tom Brady's balls.
I don't even really know what we're talking about anymore.
Wow. Okay, so that's an epic, epic, epic phone call, and we hope that you all enjoyed. Let's go straight to the news.
Yeah. It all makes sense.
So these idiots are talking news now? Are they pulling this off of Jock Journal? So I guess this proves they can read. What a joke.
All right, in the news, we talked about it last night, that the Texans were going to not cut ties with Ryan Mallett, but as of today, around noon, Eastern time, the Texans went ahead and fired the man. Now, one of the things we were talking about yesterday, and we're about to get to that poll as well, is that whether or not Bill O'Brien is entrenched as the coach longer than Chuck Pagano, it sounds like if Mallett's going, they have built at least a little bit of faith in O'Brien at this point, because that's what he was vying for. That's what he was pushing for. Matt, what do you see?
I'm still kind of blown away by all the things that came out. And I mean, the glory hole, I knew it.
The glory hole. Yes. We all kind of had feelings about that team.
Yeah. And maybe I was wrong. I don't think I was wrong about Bill O'Brien getting cut so soon, but I mean, this is definitely a step in the right direction for the organization to be behind him and let Mallett go. Mallett was, he was not good. And, you know, obviously he still had a lot of the same shenanigans he learned back in New England. I'm sure he was a part of the glory hole at one point. Maybe that rubbed the Texans wrong, right? He finds a random hole. He's used to the Patriots locker room, and now the Texans are thinking he's weird.
With Ryan Mallett out of Texas, it's basically only Brian Hoyer. They've only been carrying two quarterbacks all year long. That basically said, you know what, this quarterback controversy is over. Goodbye, Ryan Mallett. He probably ends up going back to his glory hole days and ends up, what I would imagine, back with New England. Didn't they trade a second-round pick for him?
Yeah, they did. I mean, in all seriousness, this was Mallett's fault. He probably could have stayed on the team. If you're a professional football player, how do you miss the flight to a game? How does that even happen? You don't work at McDonald's. You're a professional football player. If you're going to get paid, even a crappy football player probably gets 20 grand a game. Show up and on time. This isn't rocket science. You know, that's his own fault. He did it to himself. You show up late, especially for something like that, you get canned.
Yeah, and ultimately, this isn't the first time. If you remember, right, when the quarterback controversy was going on during the preseason, he overslept. This is becoming a situation where Ryan Mallett is constantly complaining or just seeming irresponsible. He looks like he has all the talent in the world, and his arm is so strong, but he just doesn't seem to be mature enough to handle being an adult or growing up in the NFL and probably needs to spend some time as a fry cook. At least that's my opinion.
Well, it also seems like this could be a case of him. You see this in players, right? When they think they're much better than they are or further along than they are, they start thinking that they need special treatment and people should be treating them a certain way. And then they want everyone to kind of cater to them. When in reality, you know, it's like a B-rated DJ who thinks he's amazing and wants to tell everyone what to do with the show, when in reality, he's not the guy on the bill there. It's not what people are coming to see. So that gets old pretty quickly.
It does. And ultimately, nobody's coming to see T.J. Yates, who will typically serve as Hoyer's backup in this case. Even though they don't have three quarterbacks on the roster, they've only been carrying two. T.J. Yates is one of those like extended guys who happens to have an apartment in the Houston area, ready to go, hangs out with the team on a regular basis. He's kind of extended roster kind of guy. They're going to attempt to bring him back to be his backup at this point. Do you see T.J. Yates being in any games? Because Hoyer's been, well, let's just say Hoyer's been horrible.
Yeah, he has. But I think at this point, and this is the other thing that the Mallet does, that letting go of Mallet does, it makes them stick with one quarterback, right? Good or bad. A lot of quarterbacks in the NFL have bad games. They got into the habit there in Houston. Oh, he hurt himself for two plays. Good. Mallet plays the rest of the game. Or one quarterback, oh, he throws a good touchdown. Great. He's playing the rest of the game, and they were swapping him out. This forces them to give Hoyer a chance to get through a bad game, build some fortitude, and come back. Have a little bit of courage in the face of that and show what he can actually do. And I think that's what we see, is that they stick with him, good or bad.
And it's true. And ultimately, this is much like a very musical quarterback situation. And just up the I-35, you have a musical running back situation. John Randall has not proven that he's capable of taking care of the – I'm sorry, Joseph Randall has not proved that he's capable of taking care of things. So what did the Cowboys do? They said this week against the Seattle Seahawks that Darren McFadden, good old Walk DMC, is going to be the premier back for the Cowboys this week. Now, they're not naming him fully the starter from here on out, but this is a big development.
Yeah, it's a great development. Run DMC is back. Walk this way, baby. He put a good running game on that team, and he should be the starting quarterback. Good for him. I don't know where he came from, but McFadden is back.
McFadden is hurt. And that's, well, not right now, isn't it? But you can almost bet on it. This guy can't last two sneezes before he ends up slamming his head into a desk somewhere and ends up with a concussion. The guy is constantly. Well, that's the problem, is this guy is constantly injury prone, and going against a very physical defense on your first start in what, 2.5 years?
I don't see a very physical defense coming up. Do they play the Rams anytime soon?
Bobby Wagner is going to be back for the Seahawks, and that defense with like Cam Chancellor and such. Yes, they have the Cowboys do have a better offensive line and will open holes for Darren McFadden, but that's all they got. They don't have a quarterback at this point. And if Dez Bryant comes back, who's going to toss him the ball? It's a inevitable situation that Darren McFadden is going to have to carry this team against a vaunted Seahawk defense, and that spells recipe for disaster for Walk DMC. I see him lasting two quarters before Joseph Randall ends up taking over the game and Darren McFadden ends up in a walking boot.
Well, Seattle needs to be praying to Bill Gates right now, the founder of Microsoft, that they can stop the run, because he's going to put 200 yards on them.
Oh, bold prediction. You heard it here first. Matt has stated 200 yards. We're going to go ahead and take one quick second to talk about yesterday's discussion. We were talking about Pagano or Bill O'Brien, and I'm looking here at the results, okay? The results are in officially that currently – people believe the next coach that will get fired will be Chuck Pagano at 56.25%. Bill O'Brien got 43.75%, and nobody thinks it'll be somebody other than those two. So it looks like we also had 26 votes on that, which is not a huge number, but that's a pretty close little poll that people have going. So this time it looks like I won out, and Bill O'Brien will likely end up at least getting a few more games, whereas Chuck Pagano, heading towards the bye week, is probably going to go to the unemployment line. Is that the way you see it at this point?
Yeah,
he does.
I mean,
he really does.
I have to say, he's got some tough teams going up. Very seriously, they could be 3-6 going into the bye, and his job would, I think, I don't know if he makes it out of that bye week. That team is playing horrible. We've now seen a little bit of a vote of confidence for Bill O'Brien. They're buying into what he's selling, and I don't think they're doing the same thing. People are turning on Pagano pretty quickly.
They are. Guys, we're going to have an extended break today, so Also, call in to our show at 347-850-8627. Text us at 77948 and go ahead and type the word text and then the message. What we're going to be doing on this extended break is I'm going to go ahead and give you the newest parody song. It came out 2 days ago. It's on the Thursday night or the Sunday night football theme song. I think you guys will like it, and then we're going to go straight to break right after the song. I'll catch you on the other side, guys.
Football tonight. All right, NFL is coming back. Been a lot of scandals, now it's time to relax. Kick up your feet, drink a light beer, 'cause our favorite gladiators are finally here. Hey, Jack, it's a fact that science is in. But let's stop hating, not concussions. Yeah, Deflategate is still a thing. Now let's eat meat, lover, pizza, and
cars for kids, KARS cars for kids, 1-877 cars for kids, donate your car today.
Also on the web at carsforkids.com, that's cars with a K. We're a recognized 501c3 charity organization, so you'll receive a maximum tax deduction. What's more, you'll receive a free vacation voucher of 3 days and two nights.
1-877 cars for kids, KARS cars for kids, 1-877 cars for kids, donate your car today.
Are you looking for the web's best sports news? Visit jockjournal.com. Sports media has lost its touch. It seems that journalists are scared to report what they see in fear of losing access to the teams they cover. At jockjournal.com, you get inside information on the entire NFL community without all the politics or fears other writers have. That's jockjournal.com. When you need the NFL sports news, information, opinions, fantasy football, or discussions, there is only one place to go, and it's jockjournal.com.
Okay, we're back. I had to surf porn and post my pics on an adult website.
And welcome back. Guys, text line is open. We got a text while on break, and I'll read that in just a second. But if you'd like to text the show tonight, you dial 77948. You type the word text, space, and then the message. We also want your calls. And we're going to be talking fantasy football for the next 15 to 18 minutes. So call us now. If you want to know what to do with your team, how to make it the perfect juggernaut of a team for those crucial week 8 games, this is the show to call. Just give us a call, 347-850-8627, and Nash and Matt will sit here and help you create the super team that you need going into the weekend. So the text I just got, it says, is Mr. McNally married? The answer to that's yes. But it says, I'd like to hold hold that man's hands that touch Brady's balls, or at least smell them. Thank you very much for that text. Yeah, I think you got the point of what we were trying to do there, guys. We sold it up as a big opportunity to talk to Mr. McNally, but nobody could get him. So we decided to turn this into a nice little parody. And we kind of gave you the hint by giving you that song on the way to break as well. Satire is fun. Well, doesn't mean that you should discredit everything you hear on Jock Journal Radio. It simply means that we know how to have fun and open the show with a little bit of fun. And I hope that you enjoyed it, and I hope that you weren't disappointed by it, because there is a lot more of that to come. So, Matt, football.
Yep.
Fantasy football. How are your teams doing?
I'm rolling right along, man. I'm 5-2 in my main league, and I am 4-3 in my other league. The last league, I'm 2-5, and it's pretty sad, actually.
Yeah, I'm sharing you with that 2-5. I think it's the same league if with Mr. Mayhill, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Yeah, Douche Mayhill, yeah, as we call him.
Well, the scoring system is set up so weird. You guys, I'm sure there's somebody, and go ahead and call the show to give us your story on it, but I'm sure everybody's been part of one of those fantasy leagues. We've got one owner who believes that he can reinvent fantasy football. Literally will sit there and utterly dissect every aspect of it and create a scoring system that's so bizarre and foreign that you just don't know what the hell to expect from week to week, from what you're going to get from your players, because he might give like a massive amount of points for sack yards or something weird like that. That's kind of the league that we're stuck in there. So if you got a good fantasy story and you want to share it with us, feel free to give us a call. Again, that number 347-80-8627. And Matt, I'm in the same boat you are. I have one team on my family league, which is absolutely a juggernaut. I mean, it's an amazing team, but yet I'm still only 5-2 on that team, and it kind of bothers me a little bit that I'm 5-2. I lost to it was my family league. I lost to my brother and my sister-in-law. That was pretty upset about it. But the ultimate thing here is that it was standard scoring, and it's a 10-man league, and I really do believe that I will end up taking everything from that league. However, we got a lot of another league which I'm in, which is my primary league. I'm 3-4 in. However, I started 0-4, and because I started 0-4, and it's a dynasty league. And for those who don't know what a dynasty league is, it's where you could take your players from 1 year and keep them to the next year. I started 0-4, and now I'm 3-4. I've won the last three games after trading away, you know, some of my top players like LeSean McCoy, and I think I'm actually having more success now getting rid of my big players that weren't producing, because now I can't use them and continue to be disappointed by them. Do you have anybody? You go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say two things. One, I have one league, and it's really, really the most difficult decision is this. I am in some leagues where there's nobody on the waiver wire, right? Even guys that you think are going to maybe break out are already picked up. And then I'm playing in a 10-team league, and right now McFadden's on the bench, Hillman's on the bench. There's players that you know that are going to get touches, and that's almost harder than the one where there's no one on the bench. If you can go into the waiver wire, you've got to know who to pick up, because there's everybody to play in that league. I have Doug Martin, Todd Gurley, Marshawn Lynch. I mean, do I even drop anybody to pick up McFadden? So I almost like the bigger leagues, because then your decisions are made for you. There's no one on the bench in a 10-team league. When even a couple people aren't that good, you're looking at having a bunch of decent players on the waiver wire, and you have to really decide. I mean, I picked up Gurley on the waiver wire. I actually picked up Todd Gurley on the waiver wire in that league, and I just picked up Stephon Diggs on the waiver wire without much trouble. No one even tried to get him.
Absolutely. You know, we have a partnership at Jock Journal with a site called Fantasy Knuckleheads, and they provide premium just top-notch fantasy advice for all of their subscribers. Yes, it's a subscribe site, but they go ahead and give us some of their content absolutely free. And I'd like to talk about the Week 8 running backs for just a quick second. Since we have just got done talking about the possibility of Darren McFadden, I can't see him as being a top-tier running back this week. However, we got Todd Gurley versus San Francisco. How is he not the number one back in the NFL to start for fantasy football this week?
He is. Gurley is an absolute monster, and I just actually made a trade in my main league where I traded Carson Palmer and Allen Robinson for Todd Gurley. I have Aaron Rodgers in that league, and I picked up Carson Palmer on the bench. I drafted him in like the 12th round. No one was going to draft him. I picked him up at the beginning of the year. Picked up Allen Robinson as well, drafted him a little bit high, but then picked up Hurns way late in the draft. And now Hurns is almost playing comparable to him, so I was able to trade those for Gurley when Jamaal Charles went down. And that guy is an absolute beast. 29 points in that league, 130 yards and 2 touchdowns last week. He has taken over for Jamaal Charles and then some.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, it's really amazing. We got some major injury concerns this week with Joseph Randall listed as questionable. Chris Ivory also listed as questionable. It's created some flux as far as what you can depend on in fantasy football. Never before has a team that's been absolutely dog crap at the beginning of an NFL season in fantasy football turn into such a capable and potent team this year.
This week we got a lot of players coming off of the waiver wire and doing. I mean, Chris Johnson is one of the leading running backs. He's a good play, a running back one or two start every week. And to be able, I picked him up in the second week on the waiver wire.
Well, Fantasy Knuckleheads has them listed as Todd Gurley as a number one choice, Le'Veon Bell as a number two choice, Adrian Peterson at Chicago as only the number three choice. My, how times have changed. Devontae Freeman at number four against Tampa, and Justin Forsett as the fifth choice going into San Diego. Now, I'm sure some of you might have running backs that are, you know, outside of that little repertoire. However, I think that those are your strongest backs. And if you don't have one of those, what would you say are?
I don't agree with Forsett.
You don't agree with Forsett against San Diego?
No.
Go. You got the floor.
No, that's it. I just, Forsett is underwhelmed and underperformed, and I don't think he's a true number one running back. I don't think he ever will be. He's definitely not even close to that. I think San Diego is one of those teams that will, and aside from this terrific Raiders loss, they've played teams pretty close. I mean, look what they did to Green Bay. They played them pretty close, and Green Bay is a damn good team. So, no, I don't agree with Forsett.
I want to know where Eddie Lacy has gone. I was fortunate enough to trade him away. He's fallen off the face of the earth. In fact, the Fantasy Knuckleheads only has him ranked number 21. Are we not being fair to this guy?
No, we're being fair to him. Look, the only reason Eddie Lacy did so well last year is because that team dictated that they run the ball a lot. This year, they don't have to do that. I've said this like four or five times on here. When Aaron Rodgers plays out of his mind, they don't have to run the ball. They need to keep the defense honest, and that's it. And you can do that with 10 touches. That's about it. When Aaron Rodgers is playing as well as he is, they're going to throw the ball all day, and they're going to continue to win. They're undefeated. And my prediction is they roll into Denver, and this is a chance we get to see Denver actually play a decent defense that's really rolling. I think Green Bay goes in and rolls Denver to the tune of four or five sacks on Peyton Manning, and I don't know if Peyton Manning actually makes it through that game.
Okay. My big, like, surprise pick for this week, and you can go ahead and jot this one down and do a little research. Chris Polk of the Houston Texans is going against Tennessee with the loss of Arian Foster due to an Achilles injury. This might be Chris Polk's big chance. Now, I know what everybody's thinking. What about Blue? What about, you know, what's going on for sure inside that team? However, they've tried Blue. It didn't work. Alfred Blue was underwhelming during his the absence of Arian Foster. I see Chris Polk as having a chance to possibly assert himself as the number one feature back in Houston this week. Matt, do you have any disagreements with that?
No. I mean, I don't know if I'm as high on him as you are. I wouldn't play either one of those guys, but I could see what you're saying, and I think that it makes a lot of sense. Someone's got to step up. Blues had the chance before, and he didn't really make do with it. So I think that Polk gets his chance. I just don't believe that that's going to be the amazing game that you think it is, but I would steer clear of either one of them.
Well, we definitely know that Brian Hoyer's not going to carry the team on his back.
He might. Look, they got DeAndre Hopkins, so they're going to be in games. He's playing out of his mind. So they're going to be in games. And they still have Nate Washington, too. So, I mean, they can play with people. It's just a matter of whether they do or not.
You said probably the best player's name on that team, and that's DeAndre Hopkins, who's ranked as the number two wide receiver this week by Fantasy Knuckleheads. He's been everywhere all over the place. However, I'd have to say the number one this week is going to be Julio Jones. I see him with a 17 targets, 9 catches, a touchdown. Just another day for that monster man that is Julio Jones in Atlanta. Another big person I see personally is Calvin Johnson at Kansas City. I don't think Peters can even think about, with his limited experience, keeping up with Calvin Johnson. And KC just tends to let people just run all over him and pass all over him.
I got another bold prediction for you. Jeremy Maclin has more receiving yards than Calvin Johnson at the end of that game.
Matt, would you be willing to bet a steak dinner on that?
Yeah. Definitely.
Okay.
I'll let you take a picture of it and put it up at jockjournal.com, and I'll pay for it.
Okay. That sounds like a deal. We will go ahead and bet a steak dinner on this outcome. He says Jeremy Maclin has more receiving yards this Sunday than Megatron. And I am already selling.
With a caveat, he has to play. If they hold him out for the concussion, he's questionable now, so it looks like he's going to play. So we're on with that. If for some reason he has a setback with a concussion and he doesn't play, that's off.
Okay. All right. That works. I'll accept that.
Right.
Fantasy Knuckleheads does have Jeremy Maclin, to your credit, listed as 17th. But you know who's right above him? Michael Crabtree, Travis Benjamin. I mean, not bad receivers, but definitely those won't inspire a lot of confidence if they're that much ahead. Dez Bryant's listed as number 6 against Seattle. Dez does a pretty good job against that Seattle secondary. Richard Sherman has difficulty guarding Dez Bryant. So I think that you had to throw that one in there, didn't you?
Yeah, I mean, I really think this is the game Dallas rebounds and puts it to Seattle. This isn't the same Seattle team. They've been in Seattle too long. It's pretty clear that they're soft. They've just been there too long. They've been having lattes. They've been hanging out, going to drag clubs. That's it. They've turned soft, and I think Dallas takes advantage of that now.
So let's see. What is your biggest sleeper pick amongst the wide receivers in Week 8?
You give me yours.
First, one of the ones that you already mentioned. I don't know if you can call it a sleeper because you've already mentioned it, but I believe in Nate Washington. I also tend to go with Dorial Green-Beckham. I believe it's time. I don't think the Titans can advance any farther than they are right now without finally giving this kid a big role and letting him learn the right way. And what's the better opportunity than to let his feet get wet against Houston, who allows 242 yards a game while leading the team and leading the league in allowed touchdowns with 16. Now, we know this kid has some talent, but Coach Wisenhunt says He's behind on the playbook. I say the Titans have little choice but to start him in this tasty matchup, and that's exactly what I believe they're going to do. I think they're going to start DGB, and there isn't a stronger option out there on the waiver wire if you're looking for a fantasy performer for this week.
I got one for you.
Okay.
Here you go. I think Rishard Matthews is your sleeper pick for this week. He's had a couple good games. He's just getting better. I think he goes for 100 and a touchdown on New England.
100 and a touchdown.
Yep.
All right. Good. Guys, we need to shock the jock submissions. We only have about 3 more minutes left before we get to shock the jock, so get them in now. Text 77948. Type the word text, space, and then your message. So ask your questions. In a few minutes, we're hoping to God that I don't have to get shocked yet again.
I'm just hoping that McNally made it safely out of here and that he's somewhere tonight safe. That's what I'm hoping.
He's probably in a hole in the,
took
in,
a lot of
in the ground somewhere.
For him to come on the show.
He's a good man. Oh, we got a caller on the line. Just let's give it a moment. From the 727. Caller, go ahead.
Hi, guys. Did I miss the Patriots equipment manager? Has he been on yet?
He has.
Yes, he has. I'm afraid so. You can go ahead and listen to this episode at jockjournal.com/JJR. Okay. At the completion of this show, it's right there in the front part of the show.
There was two questions I'm not as interested in Deflategate as other things, but there was two questions I wondered if you had asked them, and I'll ask you, maybe you know the answers.
Okay.
No.
One of the biggest controversies with him before Deflategate or any of this thing did not have to do with football. It had nothing to do with football, and if you Google it, you'll see. Have you seen the large amount of stories about him getting hair transplant surgery? Do you know what I'm talking about? There is so many websites dedicated to whether or not Tom Brady grew his hair out to hide his bald spot, that he went to the same doctor as Matthew McConaughey. He sat down, cost him $60,000 to do it. There is websites dedicated to showing what he looked like before and after the surgeries and even what his hair looks like white. That was my first question. The second one, and if you don't believe me, Google it now, because it's massive how many people are into that story. Second story is, did the equipment manager in any of his travels ever see his cock or his butthole? Is it stretched out? Is it a tight little red butthole? Has he got big balls, a big head on his penis, lots of veins in his cock? You know, what kind of deal?
Hey, these are valid questions. I feel like this is something that we need to know as well. He's right about the hair transplant. There's like a whole following that Tom Brady inspired my hair transplant.
It was Hairgate 2016. I'm sure that's going to become a very interesting discussion to talk about. Wow. Matt, I think it's time for us to invest into some level of a call screener.
No, that was great. He had some valid points. Well done. Thank you, caller.
Absolutely. Let's go ahead and just get on to Shock the Jock and take a moment to enjoy what we have here.
Attention, everyone.
It's fun game time.
Okay, everyone. It's time to play a game.
It's time to play Shock the Jock,
where you ask the questions and one answer is a complete lie.
If the audience figures out which one it is, we will shock the jock.
I tell you what, you can't make this shit up. I need a new job.
Okay, guys, we got some Shock the Jock questions for tonight, and I'm going to enjoy reading them. First one, as always, goes off to you, Matt. If your best friend's lady was spotted doing porn on the internet, would you say something?
Of course.
You to your best friend? Kind
of, yeah, of course. I'd let him watch.
What do you say?
Let him watch it. You said, bro,
yeah.
I was watching porn and I saw your girl on porn. You need to watch this. I watched her. She was getting railed by like a 12-inch cock, and you should be aware of this. 100%.
Okay.
You sit him down and you make him watch it.
And that could be one of those things that, like, ends the marriage, I mean, immediately.
Yes. He should know. That's it. I don't care. I mean, if he doesn't know already, he should know. Hopefully he says, yeah, I know she used to do that. I don't want to see it. I've already seen it. We've gotten past that. Okay, great. Good for you guys. I mean, no, I'm not going to hold it against someone. Good for him. He got a girl that's freaky. That's great for him. But if he doesn't know, he needs to know.
A sobbing mess, it seems. And, you know, that's what I would be listening to this sort of, like, situation. Like, it would destroy me. And it would destroy me to know that about my friend's wife, because I don't think I'd have the ability to tell him. It would hurt me too much to see my friend in that kind of pain. So I would probably enjoy the pornography all by myself.
That's almost worse, that you would beat off to your friend's wife in porn than just telling him that it's there.
Okay, let's just get on to the next question. And go ahead and text your submissions on who you think is the liar tonight by texting the name and which question. That was question one. The porn question was one. Would you tell a girl she has her dress in her panties after she leaves the bathroom?
No. That's easy. No. Let her mosey around like that for a little while.
Honestly, I think I probably would. Two reasons. One, you're that person's hero for the day, and there's going to be a great level of gratitude. Well, at least that's what goes on in the fictions of my own mind. I believe that she'll be like, oh, well, that was really sweet of this person to go ahead and just tell me that. And they're not making a big deal out of it. But the second reason is nobody else wants to see that. And it can create, especially in the workplace, a very funky dynamic to have to deal with on a day-to-day basis. And if you're automatically that guy who did see it and didn't tell her, then all of a sudden she's going to be scornful and hateful about the fact that you didn't let her know about a pending, very embarrassing situation that could occur.
Yeah. Or you could take a picture and post it on social media before she notices.
Okay, one last question. If you worked fast food, would you spit in a jerkhead customer's food?
Yeah, I have done that, actually.
And you have?
This is going to be great. If you were mean to me in high school and you came to eat at the McDonald's in Redmond, Oregon, when I worked there, it might have been you. And I'm not even going to say who it was. Just know that that might have happened to you if you were a total asshole. If you were a macho douche at Redmond High School and you came to eat at the Redmond Walmart McDonald's, that was probably you. So enjoy that.
And ultimately, he might be having the last laugh because you're working at McDonald's, which I absolutely hated. Let me go ahead and tell you what I would do. I don't spit in anybody's food. However, I have this wonderful passive-aggressive way of telling somebody to go screw off in a way that if I want to repeat it to somebody else because there's a controversy over it, it could just end up sounding like me just being a nice customer. So I say something along the lines of, your order is here, and I really hope that you enjoy every single piece of lettuce that is on this sandwich, as I look and I grin. And now they're wondering the entire time, did he spit my food? Did he do something to my food?
Such a mind game kind of guy. Just spit in the food and quit fucking with it.
And see, now he goes to my manager. I want to talk to your manager. I was just being a very, very courteous, you know, customer service type of person. I cover my own rear end.
That's not something you would do. Jeez.
It says it creates a paranoia where I just can't eat his food and I have his money. And that is a double win for Nash Carey. I just high-fived myself. See, just like that. So with that, go ahead and text your thoughts on which one you believe on the lie. And we already have one. And we're going to go ahead and tell, it's two actually now are saying that you are lying, Matt. So let's go ahead. Matt, were you lying about the last one, number three?
God, I really thought tonight was going to be the night you shocked me. No, I'm definitely not lying about number three. If you did go to high school in Redmond, Oregon, and were a jerk to me, that was probably you. I was lying about number two. Obviously, I'd tell a girl I'm not going to take a picture and snap it to social media or let her get embarrassed, and especially in the workplace. I'd let her know, hey, we fix that. Maybe give her a little shield so she can turn around and fix it. And then, just like you said, you know, I try and practice kindness and be kind to people. And that's a kind thing to do, not for her to be grateful to me, just because that's something I would want someone else to do for me. Nice try, guys.
I think that might be why you don't get shocked, is because I think your little kindness thing is telling people, hey, don't shock me. I'm too much of a nice guy to do it. And they just tend to go the opposite direction with you. However, I don't mind just simply letting it fly. And I know
no,
who
I
you
think
are.
It's 'cause they assume
I know
I'm
who you
a total
are.
Bastard.
You are. They just haven't got a chance to know you yet.
I'm a total asshole.
Okay, and with that, we're going to go ahead and close up tonight's show. Tomorrow, we're going to be talking about more of this week's games. We're going to be talking about the Thursday night football matchup, and we're going to be going over all the NFL news and discussion that goes on. And thank you all for such a wonderful show. We appreciate you calling in tonight, and we hope to see you tomorrow. I'm Nat.
And I'm Matt.
And this is NFL Late Night Talk.
That was NFL Talk Late Night from Jack Journal with the biggest morons in the country. If you aren't asleep already, it might be time to get to bed. However, I'm sure most of you are still looking for me on AshleyMadison.com.